When do we need to surrender? And when do we need to engage? When are we like the goat in the pickup truck, needing to hear that gentle whisper in our ear that the situation we are in requires us to let go, to give up, to give in, surrender what is happening in our lives? When do we need to engage, resist, even fight the circumstances in our lives? The theological term for this process of decision-making is called discernment. It means a period of time taken to review a situation without judgment, listening to our inner wisdom, which then leads to a preparation for a decision. Should you be an atheist, then you would be listening to the wisdom. Should you be a theist, you're listening to your own personal wisdom. Or if you're a theist, you would be listening to the voice of God. Being able to hear that inner wisdom, that's really one of the challenges. Because like the goat, we are often already in situations that are stressful and overwhelming. Our survival responses may have already kicked in, or the voices that we grew up with, our parents' voice that we have incorporated into our psyche, or the societal voices or cultural voices, they're all shouting at us. Discerning what the best step to take is can be a struggle of clearing away all those voices, the ones that are in us and outside of us, that are shouting, choose me, do this, don't do that. In order to make the next point, I need to tell you another story. This is a story that is called The Hunger Games. Three books written by Suzanne Collins. Many of you already know it, either from reading the books or having seen the movies. It is set in a dystopian world, an American-like country, after the great apocalypse. The country is called, there we go, Panem. It's divided into 13 districts, or rather 12, because the 13th district rebelled against the state and so officially do not exist. All districts are ruled by the capital, which is all-powerful and controls everything from communications to food to water and technology. As a punishment against the rebellion, each district is required once a year to send two children between the ages of 12 and 18, one boy and one girl, to the capital, where they will become part of a televised competition known as the Hunger Games. In this annual event, the tributes are forced to hunt and kill their opponents, the other children. The last one standing wins food for their district and a life free of poverty. We would all agree that this is a horrifying scenario, but it's also familiar. It has close similarities to the Greek myth of Theseus and the Minotaur, where King Minos demanded that the king of Athens send seven men and seven women every year into the labyrinth of the Minotaur to avert the plague caused by the death of Andarus. Theseus volunteers to take another youth's place, to be the tribute, and he enters the Minotaur's maze with the hope of killing it. Very similar story. We also know about these stories where human beings are used as entertainment for the powerful. The ancient Romans created entertainments where the Christians fought for their lives in the Colosseum for the amusement of the wealthy citizens. And there are communities today mixed martial arts, boxing, that take pleasure in violent acts for entertainment. The fighters often coming from poor communities where the lure of freedom from poverty takes them into a career of fighting for others' entertainment. One of the themes of these stories is of someone being used for someone else's goal, for someone else's amusement and control. The story of lacking personal freedom and the manipulation of personal freedom is what hooks into today's youth and young adults about their own life experience and concerns. I can see why so many young people find the story an easy overlay with the political corporate system that they perceive to live in. A system whose motivation they don't trust and whose power they imagine as absolute and unchangeable. Those who are captivated by this story are engaged in a philosophical discussion about the meaning of freedom and whether or not the individual really does have control over their lives, or whether their lives are part of a global manipulation for the benefit of some unseen corporate power. This is a really important investigation to have as one comes of age, when one begins to exercise personal choice. And it's also an important discernment at any age. In The Hunger Games, as Katniss sinks into the morass and complexity of the game, that is very like a labyrinth, issues of trust and distrust, risk and betrayal get caught up with her sense of commitment and freedom of her choices. The deeper in she goes, the more real the game becomes, the more she is challenged to compromise her values, the more her choices become dictated by the manipulations of the game itself. Several times in the second and third book, she needs to remind herself of what is real for her. She comes to a crossroads where she needs to realign her actions, her decisions, with what her original motivations were to engage in the arena's capital's game. In these moments of discernment, she reminds herself who she is, why and for whom is she playing the game. By taking the time to reflect and realign herself, she is separating or clarifying where she begins and ends, her personhood, and who she loves. Only then is she ready for the decision. Only then does her freedom to act come from knowing who she is and who she loves. She controls her choices. When we source our reality in the construct of the society we currently live in, when we source our identity on external voices such as on pleasing others or following other people's orders, we give up something very precious. We give up our freedom and power to know and name ourselves. Is our freedom only fantasy? If we give ourselves away, it is. It's not if we know ourselves well. This means we need to know both our strengths and our weaknesses, what our woundedness is, our yearnings, our values. It means we need to know how we can be manipulated by others, whether that other is a singular person or a whole culture. Shakespeare said, "To thy own self be true, but if you don't know who you are, you won't know to what you are being true to. If you don't know what you're being true to, then you do have no choice, no freedom. It means that you are susceptible to manipulation and the agendas of others. Maybe today, many today, I believe, rightfully fear the agendas of our political parties or corporations or systems that put their needs to sustain growth and power before the sustainability of our planet. I don't believe that's fantasy. I believe this is the world that we live in and why the story of the Hunger Games has touched so many first world youth and young adults. 26 million read the books, and the movie studios made over $3 billion. Stunning. The only reason I add that those numbers is to say that this story really resonates with young adults and youth. I come back now to where I started, discerning when to surrender and when to engage. Kate Ness Evergreen discerned why, when, and how to engage. She was motivated by knowing that there are times in our lives when we need to take action for what we have decided is crucial to us, the source of many social action movements throughout history. Her choice was based on the necessities of life for the ones that whom she loved and what they needed, food, water, and safety. She risked her life to provide the opportunity of food, water, and safety for her family and the people of her district. And what about those times when we are the goat in the truck and we're faced with circumstances beyond our control, when the wisest choice is to surrender? How many of us can identify with the writer of that story by Meg Barnhouse? It's a difficult decision. Perhaps we need to hear the wise counsel of surrender when our physical and mental health produces only pain, when we have lost sight of who we are and where we are going, when we are forced on to numbing, when we are focused on numbing to, escaping from, or avoiding the present moment, when we see that all our coping mechanisms are not working. Like Meg Barnhouse, I used to only have two gears: fast, flat out, and stop. The stress on my body was and still is an issue. The way I lived my life was insupportable. That goat in the truck moment can happen any moment of any day of our lives. I have mini goat in the truck moments, usually in the evening, when that list of things to do before I can rest is so long and heavy. And you have those days where you just didn't even get to the list. Your life went so off in a different direction. Well, at that moment, I have a choice. We all have choice all the time. I say this all the time. We always have choice if we have the ability to stop and pay attention to what's happening and know that we can either watch the world whipping by and do nothing about it, or take a breath and be present. At the end of the day, we can push on or we can surrender to our tiredness, our limitations, our need for sleep, and prepare for the next day. It's a moment of discernment. You ask yourself what's necessary, what am I responsible for, what is important to me, where is the pressure coming from? Is it real, or is it an old tape in my head, a voice? For me, my mother's voice. For you, somebody else's. And then what is the bigger picture from outside of this moment? What about my health 5 years from now, next week, 10 years from now? What about my limitations? It's okay to have limitations. Surrendering is a spiritual practice that sustains and enriches our lives. It begins with awareness of the present moment, listening below the chorus of competing inner and outer demands or the lures of something better. Listening to one's best wisdom. One surrenders by detaching from those stories as they spin out, becoming aware of the thoughts in our minds like a spectator in the theater. One watches the thoughts, the demands come and go like the actors on the stage, noting their emotional flavors and patterns, what grabs our attention. And then as the viewer, one begins to experience an awareness that is presence. And being present is awareness. Being present and aware is both spiritual surrender and spiritual freedom. Surrender because you cannot control the present moment if you are present to it. Freedom because you are present. And if all of this sounds gobbledygook to you, I apologize. And if you are intrigued, I encourage you to pursue that curiosity. Take up the practice of awareness. Explore an awareness meditation practice. There are many paths. But in this moment, the moment before we sing, before we end and stack up the chairs and go downstairs to eat delicious soup, in this moment, could you imagine you are that goat in the back of the truck, and for a moment, could you just enjoy your ears flapping in the breeze?